Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. Shortly after finding out she won a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant, Larissa Fasthorse told Here and Now she didn't get into theater for the money. She does it because she loves it. Fasthorse is Sichangu Lakota. She grew up in South Dakota. She and her husband are now based in California. Larissa Fasthorse joins us now to talk about her work, including her satirical Thanksgiving play and her plans for that Genius Grant. Larissa, congratulations and welcome to In the Moment. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm always thrilled to talk to people back home.
But before we get into the grant, I want, for folks who are unfamiliar with what you do, tell us a little bit about your work in theater and your work as co-founder of Indigenous Directions.
Yeah, so most people when I grew up in South Dakota knew me as a ballet dancer. That was my first career. And I ended up doing that for 10 years professionally when I left South Dakota. And then I got into theater after that. It took a few years of me figuring out what I wanted to do next. And I ended up really, I always loved writing growing up. And I found script writing after ballet and I really fell in love with it. So I've been doing, I started in film and television and I wrote a couple TV shows that sold out here in Los Angeles. And then I just wasn't happy with the way that Hollywood was depicting Native people 10 years ago. And so I got a commission from theater, actually back almost home, back at Children's Theater Company in Minneapolis, commissioned my first play. And that felt like coming home for me artistically. You know, I've said many times, it was like Dancers with Furniture. I totally understood that world. And they really wanted to do things right and to represent Indigenous people in a better way than we have in the past in this country. And so I've been working in the theater ever since then. It's been about 13 years going into my 14th. This is kind of the lost year, so I guess it is about 14 years.
Right.
It doesn't feel like it. Theater has been closed down for a year. So it's I've been doing theater all over the country. I'm working a lot in Minneapolis and New York and California, everywhere, really, and including now South Dakota. We've been, before COVID shut everything down, I was working on a big piece in South Dakota as well. And so I do that now since everything's closed down in theater. I'm also working in film and television again. And so I have some TV projects at Disney and NBC. And I'm also working on developing some film projects, too.
Wow.
I do a little of everything.
Yeah. And that's what makes you a really exciting guest to talk to. In that vein of talking about kind of the lost year, as far as this year goes, talk to us about making that adjustment, because obviously live theater has been one of the lost things from our current situation with the pandemic. Talk about going back to kind of that film and TV space. Was that hard for you to jump back in?
You know, I'm really fortunate that people have been contacting me for the last several years asking me to work on film and TV projects. But, you know, they haven't been things, again, that I've been happy with. Too often what happens is someone creates a project. They have a Native American character as sort of an afterthought. Usually it's a woman that's meant to make the white guys that lead the show look good, you know, make them interesting. And then they contact me at the last moment and say, oh, we need a Native American name on this show to sign off on things, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I've been turning those jobs down over the years. That's not what I'm interested in. About a year and a half ago, I got a call about a show where I was asked, with this woman named Courtney Hoffman out here in LA, to create a show for Freeform, which is a Disney channel, not the Disney channel, but is a Disney channel. And it was where I would really be creating, we'd really splitting the show half and half. And she'd be doing one side of the show and I'd be doing the other side of the show, and got to really represent the contemporary Indigenous experience in the way that I wanted to do it. And so that was the first one back. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. As a co-creator, I had full power, creative power over it, and as a writer as well. And so, you know, we developed that show together. And once I said yes to that, other things started coming in that I really got excited about. And so, you know, I'm doing this Disney Channel movie, which, you know, I hope they make. You never know. That's the difference in working in film and TV, is that you're a writer for hire. You know, I don't own this material. Disney owns it and they decide if they want to make it. But I'm getting to, you know, make Native American women be stars of these shows. And that's really exciting to me. And that's, I'm always writing for that, you know, little Native girl, like, say, maybe myself, growing up in South Dakota, who maybe felt a little isolated from some of the rest of the world. And so I was writing to that girl and saying, well, you know, what did she need to see? What did she miss? And how can I inspire her?
Right. And when you think about both both theater and the film and TV aspect of things. Talk to us about, you know, this is your life's work. What makes performing arts such an effective method in combating a lot of those misrepresentations of Indigenous people that we see so often?
Yeah, you know, it's so good. The arts are so great for it. When it's done right, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, so much of the traditional performing arts in this country have been sort of an extraction industry where they come into Native communities, take what they think is interesting and what they are exotic or whatever, what they can profit from, and they leave and you never hear from them again. Mm. So, but when you do it right, when you do the way that I work with Indigenous communities, where I go in and I have people that have power over the script, you know, even in theater, I own the script. So it's very easy. I can say, here, you know, read the script, tell me what you think, give me your feedback, and I'll change it. In film and TV, I have to get the studio to sign on. So like with this Disney movie I'm talking about, we, which I can't tell you what it's about, unfortunately.
Darn. But, you knew I would ask.
non-disclosure agreement. But the cool thing is, you know, they agreed that we had besides myself, we had two Indigenous folks that we hired through the whole process. And they get sent the script and they get the final say over what stays and what goes, of what's culturally accurate, what's accurate to this particular tribe. And they get to have the final word. And then when you do it that way, then you get so much richer work, and you get to learn so much that's specific and right and true, and it's inspiring to everyone, right? Because we all come from specific homes, whatever it is, and we want to hear about someone else's specific home. We don't want to hear a watered down generic version of a person. We want to hear about what's really specific to Lakota people or Ojibwe people or, you know, Navajo Dene people. You know, we want to hear what it's like to actually be them, not just sort of a generalized version of them. And when we hear that, then we can identify with those things that were specific and true to ourselves. And it makes it a universal experience by being specific. Hmm. And that's what the arts can do. And they can really do it in a beautiful way.
Yeah. We're fast approaching Thanksgiving season, and speaking of misrepresentations for far too many people, that's about maybe the only time in school, perhaps, that you might encounter histories of Indigenous peoples. You've written a work we mentioned in the intro called Thanksgiving Play. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving Play, it's a what I call a comedy inside a satire. It's a very funny play. It's intentionally funny. It's meant, I don't like, you know, I don't like to go to the theater and be given a bunch of medicine. I want to go to the theater and have fun and have a group experience with lots of people with me in the dark, you know, or in the light if we're performing outside. And so I made this play intentionally fun and funny, and everyone can enjoy it. Everyone can laugh. Everyone can see themselves in it at some moment. There's no one is safe. but it's also, you know, and this is, that's the comedy part of it. That's my gift to the audiences, is to have that experience where you sit in a room together laughing. The satirical part of it, though, is about Thanksgiving and all the mythology around Thanksgiving that just isn't true. It absolutely isn't true. And so I use, you know, these four well-meaning white people that are trying to do a culturally specific play for Native American Heritage Month and Thanksgiving for children, you know. So obviously there's going to be a million pitfalls and a million problems and things that they're trying so hard and putting themselves in such pretzels to do right that they end up doing it really, really wrong. And so it's really just highlighting, you know, the things that we've listened to and taken in as fact, when actually, you know, they were perhaps things that were told to us for a particular political agenda. I mean, Thanksgiving didn't become a national holiday until well after the Civil War, when Lincoln wanted to reunite the country in a non-denominational, positive, look, two enemies can be friends sort of holiday. And so they created this mythology to bring the country back together. And that's why they created the national holiday of Thanksgiving. So it's crafted in the way it was for a specific political purpose. It was a good purpose, but then you have to say, what was the truth behind that? And that's what I hope audiences take from my plays, is a searching for the truth.
Right. Tell us about this, being a MacArthur Fellow, being awarded the Genius Grant. What does this mean for you and for your work?
Yeah, it's wild. It's so weird. I never expected this. I mean, I really never. I was completely taken by surprise. It's a huge, obviously, you know, financially, it's a huge change. And for my husband and I, who are both artists, you know, we've never had this kind of financial stability. I had 5 whole years plus, because it's a lot more money than we spend in a year, you know, to know, because the grant is paid over 5 years. Hmm. So having 5 years of not having to worry about finances and not having to worry about funding things is just unfathomable to us. We've never experienced that before. We've mostly lived at or below the poverty line as artists. Hmm. And so to know that, like, wow, we can just relax and just focus on our work. I can't even, like, right now, it's only been a couple months since we found out. So I can't even fathom yet how that's going to change how we approach our work and creativity, and how that's going to free us to not have that constant stress. I also, you know, there's certainly a lot of pet projects and things that I want to work on. You know, we have this project in South Dakota that I've been working on. We're about a year into it, mm-hmm. when COVID hit and when everything had to stop. And so we're probably going to, you know, be a year behind on it. And there's certainly things that I was like, ooh, I wish we could do this. I wish we could do this. And it's like, oh, well, now maybe we can, you know, that I have some freedom with funding and things. It's also a big change. I didn't realize what a change it is, just as far as the cool stuff I get invited to now. I just got another cool invitation this week to be on a round table for national arts policy, and helping determine what the future of national arts policy will be, and things like that, which is really exciting. So I get to be of service in a different way as an artist than I was before. So it's pretty wild, and I really take that responsibility seriously.
Wow. Many more doors opened with that with that one piece there. We've mentioned a couple times some of a bit about your project ongoing in South Dakota. Understanding it's a bit on hold right now with the pandemic, but what can you remind us of about that project?
Yeah, so this project is currently, it's not titled. It's called the Lakota Dakota Nakota Project, and it's the third in a trilogy of plays I'm doing with Cornerstone Theater Company, who's a company here in Los Angeles. What we've done is, the first play was with Indigenous people of the LA Basin. The second play was with Indigenous people of Arizona, which is a lot. And then now we're doing it with Indigenous people, my people. Right now we're really kind of spread just across so far our contacts have been across the southern, really the whole entire southern end of the part of the state. We've been working with some Nakota and Dakota folks in the eastern end, and then obviously my own Lakota folks in, Rosebud Pine Ridge, and then into Rapid City. We're creating a play together and creating a performance of some kind together, whatever that may be, by talking to people and basically just saying, what do you want? What do you want us to do? What do you want people to know about you? Where do you want us to perform this? Who do you want to tell it to? And then local people themselves are the majority of the cast in these plays. And I do the bulk of the writing, and then my partner, Michael John Garces, does the directing. But it's all with input from the community members that want to be involved. And so we met with a lot of people already and had planned a whole summer of free theater camps that we were going to give to youth that unfortunately we couldn't. But, next summer, let's hope that we get to do that next summer. And doing a lot of different projects with people and giving back in whatever ways we can as theater people. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, creating this together. So right now, since we're on hold, and a lot of the youth we had planned to work with this summer don't have access to internet and don't have regular access in that way. So we can't just like connect online. So we just sent out a bunch of analog stuff. Our designers created these beautiful notebooks to prompt artistic expression about themselves. And we sent it to two different youth groups that we know pretty well, that we've worked with several. I've worked with a lot of different youth groups on the reservations over the years. And so we sent it out to their youth as kind of a test to see, is this an interesting way to stay in contact and to give us material that you want us to include in the play? And so we just sent out the first group of those notebooks, going real old school, and then they just send them back. And we'll see how that goes. And hopefully, we're just trying to find analog ways to continue to connect with folks, because not everyone, has access to internet. And so we don't want to exclude those people that don't have that.
Right. Our time is running short. There's one last question that I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on, Larissa, and that is, as I talk with other friends of mine, creative folks, some aspiring filmmakers or other writers and things like this, thinking about the art scene in South Dakota and wanting to tell those South Dakota stories, but worrying about the necessity of having to leave South Dakota in order to do that. Talk to us just about, your own journey. Of course, you're now based in California. What's missing in South Dakota, and how do you find, kind of balance in the necessity of potentially leaving to get those stories out there, but still wanting those stories to be rooted in the identity of this place?
Yeah, you know, it's a hard one. It's definitely a really hard one. You know, we're not a large state population-wise. Mm-hmm. So the funding base for artists is much lower. I will say, you know, there's so much incredible art happening in South Dakota. There was when I was growing up, but now it's just amazing. It's so great to be home. And, I go home usually every year, not this year, and to see how many incredible people are creating beautiful art, performing arts, you know, dance and theater and music and visual arts. I mean, there's so much happening in South Dakota, and I'm amazed how people are keeping that going. Mm-hmm. The thing that we're missing in South Dakota, though, is a large ability to have the funding to stay home and make that your job. You know, these people mostly have to work another job right. and do their art. And so, you know, funding is key, finding ways to fund the arts, to give them, you know, enough money to be able to do that. I mean, I constantly am telling people, you know, back home that so many of my classmates are still in the arts in South Dakota, the Molmans and the Kearns and Pat Baker and, you know, all these different people that I grew up with. Mm. And I say, you know, my whole life has been about how do I get home and create more art at home, because I'd rather be home than anywhere. And South Dakota is still home to me. No matter how long I've lived in California, that's when I say home, that's what I mean. And yeah. So everything in my life is always about how do I get home and create more work. And for me, it's been fundraising outside of South Dakota. I'm fortunate now that I have the reputation nationally that I've been able to raise all of the money to support this play that we're doing in South Dakota from outside of South Dakota. And I've had to do that. The theater company and myself have had to take that on. And we were able to do that because people are excited about these stories. But it's, you know, honestly, it comes down to money. Arts are expensive, and right. we have to find a way to fund those artists that are in the state and keep them working.
My guest has been Larissa Fasthorse. She gave us an update on her work and her MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant. Larissa, thanks for your time today. Excited to have you back soon for more updates on your ongoing projects.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care.